But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Pomp and Joe, pomp out today. It's a Donnie Football Friday. We are at Studio B in Monroeville. Having a grand old time, Donnie, is what we're doing. You have the highlighter out, which actually frightens me. I haven't used one of those since college, for God's sake.
Really?
Yeah, what is it? Is it a pink highlighter?
Yeah,
purple?
I like using a little highlighter.
Yeah, what do you got? Is that the numbers game you're highlighting over there?
It does help me with the numbers game. I use a highlighter a good bit, I feel.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like when I do games like play-by-play or color, I'll get the highlighter out for certain things. You want to like things you want to make sure that you make note of.
Yeah.
You get into...
You want to highlight.
Yeah.
In other words.
Yes. You like that one, horse?
They don't call it the old highlighter for nothing, Donnie.
Sure,
I love it.
I'm
love
sure,
this.
I'm sure Sean knows where I'm coming from. I bet he gets
the highlighter. We all do. I had the yellow highlighter in college when I first started taking studying seriously. I couldn't get into any college, Donnie. Couldn't get into any of them.
And then went to like 4 or 5.
Was still drunk the next morning for the SATs. And I figured that I would just try to guess the pattern that whoever invented the test was doing. You know what I mean?
With I hated the SAT.
Yeah, I got like an 860. I couldn't get in anywhere, Donnie. That's not a joke. And finally, my dad's buddy worked at Cortland State up near Ithaca, New York, and got me in there. And then I realized, oh, if I read the book, I can do well on the test. Why didn't anybody tell me in high school? And then I realized, you know, that I could do well in school if I actually studied, and that's where the highlighter came in. I'd never known of a highlighter before.
Have you heard of one of the, I forget who it was, somebody called in, though, once. We were talking about fantasy football punishments.
Yeah.
Like you finish in last place. The punishment in their league is that they made the guy take the SAT.
That's a great...
Because I guess you can just do that at, like, any age.
Yeah.
Like, as if, like... Hey,
that is tremendous.
That would be brutal. And like he actually had to give the old college try and honest effort.
It's a horrifying punishment. Anyway, we're going to get to the numbers game, and I think it's going to be the greatest one yet. But first, the football game last night, Penn State, Notre Dame. That was a great game. And I'm going to ask you, like, what's the story coming out of this? Is it that Penn State's going to need a different quarterback if they're ever going to get where they want to go? Is it somehow blame on James Franklin? For me, I watched a great football game. For three quarters, it was one style, old school, physical, 1970s football, and I loved it. I loved it. And then in the fourth quarter, it exploded, and it was a great game. And there was an obvious goat to the game, and unfortunately, that was Drew Aller. He threw a horrible pass. And other than that, I've got no issues with Franklin, with anything that happens. Sometimes there's just a great game that neither coach really or the losing coach doesn't deserve to be shredded for. I know a lot of people today saying they should have knelt on the ball, they should have ran the ball, they should have just played for overtime. Listen, they were deep in their own territory at first, and Notre Dame had 3 timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the first down, do you do that? Maybe you do a running play and see what Notre Dame wants to do. See what Marcus Freeman wants to do. If he wants to stop the clock, then... You know, eventually you might have to make one more play instead of punting and giving them time because, again, they had 3 timeouts. But the real story for me, like if I had to pick one storyline, Donnie, is I felt like I just watched an all-time classic.
Yeah, that was a really fun game. It's funny because a lot of people in this area probably watched that game downright hating both teams because we know that if you're a fan of Pitt football, you don't like Penn State, you certainly don't like Notre Dame. We had conflictions on, hey, who was going to root for who in this game. I know the morning show made a big stink out of Doran rooting for Penn State in the game. I thought Penn State was going to win the game. You, myself, City Limits, we made our picks. I went with Limits Lions, as did he. You went with the Golden Domers. You end up picking up a game on us there. That really was a great football game, though. So even though Penn State ends up in the losing side of it, it was a good football game. If you're a fan of football in general, you don't care really who wins. That was a great one. And I agree. It's easy for a lot of people in those circumstances to jump on James Franklin because of what his record is in those big games, where anytime he is an underdog, he cannot get the job done. He has one win in his career when he faces a top five team and he's an underdog. And I think now 15 losses. I don't put that one on him last night, though. And I think they made the right decision to be aggressive when they had the football, what they thought would be last. And unfortunately, Drew Aller puts it into a dangerous position. It gets picked off, and Notre Dame wins the game. But that's an instance where I'm not throwing this on James Franklin and saying that he blew the game.
Well, that's the other thing, is I'm still reading and seeing Franklin can't win the big game. He just won two of them. He won two playoff games. He had to beat SMU, or I would have been first in line, shredding him. And then he beat Boise State. And yeah, they got a favorable draw. But winning two playoff games and going to the national semifinals and losing one of the greatest football games I've seen in recent memory, I'm just not inclined to rip the guy today. They had a very good season. That's how I feel. I know Sean is a Penn State guy. How do you feel about all this, Sean?
So first off, I think Franklin had his best season this year guiding Penn State. It wasn't perfect, but I thought he had some defining moments. You know, really, you look at the three playoff games, it's hard to nitpick anything that he did wrong. I know he had a very bold decision to go for it against SMU that kind of backfired, but his players subsequently bailed him out. I thought he was really good. And, you know, the decision to try to win the game with a field goal is absolutely the right decision. I mean, it's almost cowardly if you decided to try to run the clock out at the end, because they had plenty of time and were at a part of the field where you basically just need probably two decent completions to get into field goal range. If you don't have any faith in your quarterback to do that, then it's a much bigger problem. Aller, the interception was really, really bad, but I thought he was bad the entire game. If he played an average Drew Aller game, it probably doesn't come down to needing a last drive to win it. I thought that he made enough mistakes throughout, and he looked like he was both inaccurate and just kind of rattled. That, to me, is a concern going forward. But the hope is, you see some of these other teams in recent years that have had success. Ohio State and Notre Dame this year both had quarterbacks that were very experienced that they got out of the portal. You think of Michael Penix last year with Washington. The hope is that Aller will get better as he continues to become more experienced. So him coming back next year, there is some reason to hope that he would make strides, but he needs to, because right now what we saw from him in a couple of big games, Ohio State included, is he's not good enough necessarily in those big games for them to win a championship.
Yeah.
Other than that, I thought they played well enough. I thought their defense gave up a couple of big ones, but overall created so many positive plays in their favor. Takeaways, big sacks, Abdul Carter and denied Dennis Sutton were terrific. Zaki Wheatley had 16 tackles, a sack, and interception. The running game and the offensive line was good enough. The only issue last night was that their quarterback was not good enough, and unfortunately, that's usually the most defining position in a football game.
I think James Franklin did a really good job this year. I thought they got about as far as they were going to go, and they were one step away from going one step further. You know, but their quarterback, you're right, wasn't good enough. I thought he got bailed out before that on a horrendous throw to the end zone, where the guy with his back to the quarterback, yes, he put his hands up. He had zero material impact on that play. You want to call it by the letter of the law? I guess, okay. But that doesn't take away the fact that it was a terrible throw that no matter what was going to get got bailed out there. That's one. On the other hand, Abdul Carter got held more than T.J. Watt in that game. Oh, my God. And did they ever call one?
No, and I can tell you that has been a recurring theme all season. You mentioned T.J. Watt. I think that's an apt comparison because Carter has been held so frequently, and it seems like it almost never gets called. That said, it did seem like early the officials established that they were going to let the teams play, which made that kind of ticky-tack pass interference probably more infuriating for Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, and the hands-to-the-face call. It's like, all right, Carter is getting just like assaulted on every play, but now you're going to call a hands to the face in the middle of the line. Again, technically, letter of the law, yes, but what about all the stuff you're not calling? So, the little things bothered me. But overall, Donnie, I give James Franklin high marks for this season. I do.
Yeah, if you're a Penn State fan, and I'm not, but I was getting into that game last night. I was on until 10:30, so I'm watching it with no volume, but I'm watching it really as the show is going on, and I'm having the conversation with our pal Jolie that, listen, I think Penn State fans have to be happy with how this season has gone. You got to the national semifinal, and before this playoff got expanded, it was only four teams. You got yourself to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a better draw than most teams did, but you have to be pretty happy that, hey, we got down to a field goal away from a national championship appearance.
It was sometimes it's just a great game. And even though that was a terrible decision by Aller, it was a great play by that kid.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
He had a pick earlier that got taken away.
Right.
He was the kid that picked it off in the end zone.
A diving interception in that circumstance, that's how I look at this. Sometimes there's not much more to it than, wow, that was just a great football game that maybe neither team deserved to lose. You know, that's not exactly the hottest of takes, and it's usually not my take after any game, but that one I just sat back and said, wow.
An interesting aspect, by the way, Joe, is that we mentioned the expanded playoffs. Penn State obviously never made it when it was a four team. They would have this year. They were in the top four after the championship games. So they would have made the old format of the playoffs this year. So I think no doubt it is a successful season, despite the fact that it is a very frustrating finish to it.
Yeah, it is. Well, how about a little music for the numbers game as we dive back into Steelers-Ravens? Donnie and I put hours, days into this. I'm ready to have our best numbers game yet, Donnie, and I'd like to bat leadoff if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Joe.
2-4. Those are the wins and losses for Lamar in playoff games. He's 2-4, and in games against the Steelers. And I'll make a little four-pack out of that with the number 68-20. That's Jackson's record against the rest of the NFL. 68-20.
157. I mentioned the point differential for the Ravens against playoff teams. Plus 157 is the point differential for the Ravens this year. They're tied with the Bills for the best in the AFC, third best in the entire league.
30. That's 30 of the 37 games between Harbaugh and Tomlin have been decided by one score, and that's also accompanied by another number, 20. 20.
.9. The Ravens on first down, they average a league high 6.9 yards per play. It's a lot of coach speak when they mention we got to win first down in games. You hear that really in all levels. You hear it a lot in high school. You'll hear it all the way through. The Ravens do that an awful lot when they have the football. The Steelers merely try to not get behind the sticks. The Ravens try to attack you on first down.
Great point. I've got a number for you, Donnie. 0. In those 37 matchups between Harbaugh and Tomlin, neither team has ever gotten back-to-back wins by double digits. Even if you stretch it across seasons, it's never happened. 0 times.
10. And this is one that's a little bit concerning to me. It should be concerning to Steeler fans. A turnover for the Steelers offense in 10 consecutive games.
Wow. For a guy who hates turnovers in Mike Tomlin, I have another four-pack for you, Donnie, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
89.1%, that's Justin Tucker's career field goal percentage. That's first in the history of pro football. 88.02%, that's Boz. He's fourth all-time. You have two of the greatest four kickers of all time in this game in terms of field goal percentage. Between those two, by the way, numbers 2 and 3 are Harrison Butker and who? One of you got the name for the guy who's third all time? Yeah.
Vinatieri?
No. Sean? Wrong.
Gary Anderson.
Eddie Pinero for the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. Mulsey's favorite team. But these are accompanied by other numbers, Donnie. Boz goes from 88 to 93 is his field goal percentage this year. Justin Tucker, 89.1%. He's the all-time leading kicker. He's at 73.3 this year. He's been better lately, but those numbers jump out when games between these two are often decided by field goals. I apologize for the long number.
No, that's all right. I was going to ask quickly as an aside to that, if it gets down to a field goal game, who do you trust more?
Not even a question, man. It's Boz.
Same with me. I mean, the way he's kicked this season, it would be a stunner if he missed anything, what, inside of 45 yards? Inside of 50 yards?
Inside of 55. I'd be surprised. He's unbelievable. Donnie?
3.14, even though that's the start of the number pi, or the digits for pi. That is the amount of time that Lamar Jackson has to throw this season, which is the highest in the NFL. The Steelers have to try and get after that dude, and I think number 90 can go a long way in making that happen.
Well, I would argue that a lot of that 3.14 is Lamar making chicken salad out of you-know-what. I don't think his offensive line is a great pass-blocking offensive line, I'll be honest. I just think he's one of the most phenomenal scramblers and get-out-of-trouble guys that there's ever been. Here's two numbers. 3 and 9. That's Minka's interceptions, 3, and passes defense, 9 against the Ravens. His most of any team for both those categories.
You think he gets one in this
game?
Yes,
I do, Donnie. Thank you for asking.
Another INT.
Yes.
That's why you didn't ask Ray that question.
That's exactly right. You got a number for me?
I do. 101, or I guess just over 101. But out of the time that was on the clock in the last four games, 240 possible minutes for the Steelers. They've had the football for just 101 of those.
Wow.
The time of possession number, which was so great, they were leading the league for a lot of the season, has gone so far downhill, and I think it's perfect an illustration of it in the last game. They wanted to keep that football away from Joe Burrow. They had it for 22 minutes. So how did that plan work out? Burrow had it for almost 40.
That's amazing. Let's go to the two-minute drill, Donnie. Quick passes here. 19 Pickens catches versus the Ravens, more than any team.
3,013, the snaps from rookies this season for the Steelers. And I think most of these guys have played well. Frazier, McCormick, who's questionable.
Yeah.
Beanie, Bishop, Peyton, Wilson. I think all four of those guys have actually, I don't want to say have become stars. Frazier has. I think Frazier's a stud. But they've gotten good contributions from the young guys.
2 sacks for Alex Highsmith in 9 games against the Ravens. Only 2. Let's move the ball, Donnie.
15.4, the points per game allowed by the Ravens defense over the last 7 weeks, the best in football.
Wow. 3.74 Najee's yards per carry career versus the Ravens, as is the story with him. Those are some nice cumulative stats he has against the Ravens, but not impressive on that front. And Derrick Henry averages over 5 yards a carry against the Steelers.
A little bit on the Ravens defense here. 54, the number of sacks from Baltimore this season, second best in the NFL.
Thank you, Donnie. A 4-pack for TJ Watt. 17 sacks, 22 tackles for loss, 33 quarterback hits, and 4 forced fumbles in only 16 games against the Ravens.
What do you think he gets in this game?
2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, a strip sack, and maybe a touchdown, and thank you for asking.
He had that touchdown against Kansas City. You know who else I could think have one? Maybe Pat Freiermuth. 15 receptions in his last 2 games.
Wow, I didn't know that. This jumps off the page. 79. That's Mark Andrews' target in only 11 games against the Steelers. But get this, he's only caught 48 of those 79 targets. They've actually done a pretty good job on Andrews by and large throughout his career, and they will again. Give me 2 more, Donnie.
424.9
yes.
yards per game from Baltimore's offense. Far and away the best in football.
66-0. That's the cumulative score in the first quarters. Steelers 5 straight playoff losses. The other guys have 66. They have 0. Wow.
64.6. Najee Harris, his average yards per game since the bye week. He's somebody, if you want to run the football and mean it, he's got to be someone who has a big game.
74.2. That's the Ravens in the red zone. That is a high number in history. They're number 1 in the NFL, needless to say. And you want to compare it? 74.2, you got to go down nearly 30 or 40 points to 48.2. That's Artie Smith in the red zone. If this game gets decided there, by those numbers, then you're right. The Steelers would get blown out.
19. And I guess we can make this my last one. You could round it out, Joe. Not only is that the point total that Cincinnati got last week, that was the yardage of their longest play. So a red-hot offense that came in here, and the Steelers did not allow a play over 20 yards. If you do that tomorrow against a big play offense in Baltimore, a little bit more difficult with